going to try to reduce my sharing. It's in line with building with God. And part of building with God is we have to give substance. So it's almost like material that God uses. I don't know why God actually rely on us, but that's how God did. Okay, he can do it. You know, he can do it. But I think it's the participation, the partnership. All right. So I'm going to talk about, and I hopefully encourage you as I was encouraged when I read these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that I read it when I was a young Christian, and it say, excel in the grace of giving. I like, I want that. All right, so I'm going to unpack it. If you can do a bit of homework, you know, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 together, because that is a whole package where Paul brought the example of a Macedonian church to the Corinthian church. And Paul actually purposely compare them. You know, in Christian, we like, don't compare, don't compete. But Paul actually brought that example and say, hey, all right, this church is about 350K away. This is what they're doing. You, Corinth, you are kind of modern city, and you actually have more wealth than the Macedonian church. And the Macedonian church is about 2,000 km away from Jerusalem, all right? So I'm measuring that because in those time, to get from Jerusalem to Macedonia, you have to walk a lot and then boat. So it like take 2-3 weeks. So it's like me going to Lombok, all right? Lombok is an island, a small island compared to about 17,000 island in Indonesia. 17,000, but it's a small island. So Lombok compared to Jakarta, all right? So that's what Paul is like comparing. You got the idea? And then the money is actually given or raised up to the planting church or the mother church. All right? So we, for example, have sort of gone to Lombok and planted a church there. And then suddenly, I know it's hard to imagine, the Adelaide church ran out of money, like Simon say. And then the Lombok like, oh, poor Toh, he's not eating his rice properly. We're going to, you know? So that's the context, okay? So the other context is Paul amazingly have done 3 big mission trips. And this is his 3rd mission trip to different places. So imagine Hart Yekka, all right? But finally, he got to the 3rd mission trip and say, hey, guys, Gentile church, you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile church. You know, there is a famine happening in Jerusalem. So it was predicted by the prophet Agabus. They're really struggling. And there's no job there because Jerusalem is basically run by lots of temple business, the synagogue, and now you're Christian, so you're out, all right? And the Sadducee, who is the religious leader, is quite liberal, kind of Jewish, because they don't believe in angels or miracle or resurrection. And then the Christian believe in the resurrection, so Christian is out. So there's no job, so that's why the church is struggling. And then in Acts 2, we know all the first Christian, the first Jerusalem church, sold everything. They pulled together because they believe the message was so important, they have to get it out, not only to the Jews, as far as possible. So there's famine, there's lack of job because they become Christian, and then there was lack of resources. So that's the context. So 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know the grace of God has given to these Macedonian churches." So it's a regional church. "In the midst of the very severe trial," so this is a trial the Macedonian church is going through themselves, "their overflowing joy and their Joshua, pay attention. All right, thank you. So I lost the line. All right, "In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty." So MJ been to Cambodia, different part of Indonesia. You will see they are really, really poor. When I was in Surabaya, you know, I went to a village, it's called, you know, anyway, one night you can buy a woman for $1. And they have to dry their rice in the sewage. That's how poor they are. So just imagine a Lombok church sort of like, "Oh, we need to help Marin Vineyard," okay? So in their extreme poverty, well up in rich generosity. "For I testified, they gave as much as they were able. In fact, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." This is the beauty. Entirely on their own. Why? Because their heart was sold to God. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Powerful, powerful, impacted me as a young Christian because I wasn't a rich boy. I didn't come with, I guess, silver spoon, all that stuff. I didn't even have proper chopstick. All right? But that's the scenario, okay? This is why Paul wrote 2 chapters, because this is such an example, because part of building God's way is we, his people, will kind of recognize and believe, blessed is he who give than receive. So every opportunity, you know, if you are flowing with God, it's like, "I want to give, man. I want to outgive, you know. I want to outgive, you know. If you give me $10, I'll try to, you know." So it's not competition. It's basically excelling what God has given you because you believe God will multiply whatever he has given you. All right, next one. All right, so I'm skipping a bit, but you get the gist of it. So read the two chapters. All right. "In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy," again, I mean, you know, Marie talked about the joy is a strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. No joy, very hard. You know, we're going to get to the part cheerful, you know, hilarious giver, because the joy just overflow. The overflowing is because I get to partner with God to build his kingdom. I get to partner with God to build his way in that community. I know some of you haven't been Lombok, right? I just brought this. This is a Uniting Church. This is my second church. Average age is 78, so I'm very young there. I'm the only Asian. It's all Aussie, all right? Pensioner. They gave this to me last Sunday. I preached there, all right? This is not for me. It's for Lombok. They heard about my mission. So they raised $1,500. That's a lot of money for pensioner, about 30 of them, all right? Average, you know? So I'm bringing it up to say, if the pensioner who hasn't been to Lombok, it's just my testimony. So like Paul is saying, hey, there's this church there. All right, great people. They just do a lot of discipleship. They got 57 house churches. They don't have a big building, you know, aircon, you know, all that stuff. And they heard about it. They say, we want to partner that. So I didn't ask them. They just say, how can we help? I say, you know, money always help. You know, they are pensioners, so they're not going to go out there and, you know. So that's the kind of reality of what we can do. So let's go on, all right? "For I testified they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." Next one. "And they exceeded our expectations." This is like Paul, apostle, who sees lots and lots of miracles, and he go to Lombok, Macedonian, and it's like, this Gentile church. You know, no history about how Yahweh is so precious and generous. And then they suddenly find this Christian God, the Jewish Messiah Christian, and they're like, well, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. That's the key. If you want to excel in the grace of God, it's like, Lord, you are Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, guess what? He's not Lord at all. He has to be Lord of all. And then by the will of God also to us. First to God, and then to the servant, the apostle. So we urge Titus, just as he has earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace of our part. So it's basically they did a pledge and they're going to bring it to pass. But since you excel in everything, so now he's talking personally to Corinthians, so he's not beating them and saying you naughty church. He's basically saying, you guys are doing quite well. You excel in everything, in faith. You know, your faith is vibrant. You're going out in speech. You're actually speaking the gospel. You know, you're speaking truth in love, as Maria say. You know, we want to gather together in knowledge. So they were growing in the knowledge of God. You know, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostle and in complete earnestness. So you know, they were not lazy kind of church. They were doing stuff. And in love, in the love we have kindled in you. So they were loving community. So this is a community. And then Paul kind of like say, put another kind of like, you know what? This is a cherry on the cake. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. So the grace of God given us, this is all grace of God. We are God's workmanship, all right? Created in Christ Jesus to do work, all right? It's basically, what do you do with what God has given you? So that's what Paul is saying. What are you doing with what God has given you? You Corinthian church, you live in a city, you got, you know, aircon building and all that. It's really good. You know, you're blessed. What are you doing with it? All right, next one. All right. Ponder on that. My mouth is drying up. It's running out, you know, as in the timeline. My age, I'm running out of time. I'm sure a few of you, you know. But in the world situation, time is running out. So there's a quickening of like, come on. Let's do this again. You know, like the early church, the urgency was so much like, yeah. Which is still true. Jesus can come back anytime. So time is running out. All right, let's excel in the grace of giving. That's how we build the kingdom of God. Whatever we have, we say, Lord, it's yours. How do you want to use whatever you've given me? It's not, how can I use whatever God given me? You know, yes, God wants you to enjoy life. I mean, I come from a third world country, so I'm really enjoying my life. You know, I got shoes, I got a wife. You know, some poor people don't have wives, so I got a wife. You know, next one, please. All right. So this is the key. We can't do anything if Jesus haven't done it. We can't do anything if Jesus say, hey, I want you to do this. And Jesus empowered us. All right, this is a powerful scripture. So I'm not into prosperity gospel, but I do believe if you walk with God, you will have more than enough. You know, not everyone will drive Rolls Royce, but you have more than enough. Again, if you go to Cambodia or Lombok, you know, you see the Christian, you're like, you got so little. Why are you rejoicing? They're like, oh, God is good. You know, I got a bit of rice. God is good. Praise God. I am not commanding you, again, in a writing to Corinthians, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Again, it's love. Love is the motivation by comparing it with the earnestness of others. So in this case, it's Macedonian. Macedonian is about 350K away from Corinth. They're a bit more remote, right? But the two of it is about 2,000 km from Jerusalem. So in aspect, like say, you know, we are supposed to bear witness for Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So in those times, that's to the ends of the earth. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's all about Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, we ask the question, how rich was Jesus? He was gloriously rich. He has everything. He got legion and legion of hosts of army. That's how rich he is. He command everything, the stars, the universe. Yet for your sake, he became poor. How poor did he become? A baby in a smelly, smelly manger. Not even a room. That's how poor he became. He could have easily got sick, you know, because he was human, flesh, a baby. That's how poor he became. So that you, through his poverty, again, it's through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, through his poverty, that you may become rich. I know this is where the world comparison, you know, what is it, Keeping Up with the Joneses? Or Smith, whoever you're trying to keep up, is like, not enough, you know, whatever. But we are rich. All right, let's go on. All right. I'd like to emphasize that. It's all about grace. So when we give, it's out of grace. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of, I give $1, hopefully I get $2. All right, next one, please. So I'm just unpacking a bit. Now we jump into 2 Corinthians 9 now, all right? So he put forth the example of Macedonian. And he gave the main scripture and say, if Jesus can become poor, I'm sure we could miss one or two kappa, save that $5 or $10. That $10 will multiply if you go to Cambodia. You will feed a family for 2 days, your two cappuccino. $5 can buy a family a Bible. So think like that. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. In our term, it's investment, all right? In the farming, it's a sowing. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So this is not about tithing at all. I know a lot of people use this for tithing. It got nothing to do with tithing. It's investing in people in the kingdom of God and mission. Whatever it looks like, it's like, I can't do it, but I will partner with them in prayer and financially. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Again, freedom to choose. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. So nobody is pressuring you. Again, this group of people, all I did is just share the story, and then I get, so it's Adi and Yossi, and I say, Adi and Yossi, can you put some pictures? What do you actually do? So they do aftercare children's thing or education in Muslim mosques. Sorry, not Muslim mosque. They will be stoned if they do that. It's a Muslim village, all right? And they just show some picture. And because some of them are teachers, they're like, oh, we want to partner this because we understand education empower the illiterate. Education will break the poverty. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. No compulsion, no obligation, no, you know, pastors or speakers like, oh, if you don't, you know, whatever it is, for God loves a cheerful giver. It is, again, out of joy, out of love, out of the love of God, the joy of God. as God is able to bless you abundantly. So this is the prosperity truth. Not prosperity gospel where you give, then you try to take more. God is able to bless you abundantly. How much? So that in all things, at all times, 24/7, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, so your need is covered, you will abound in every good work. Because giving, it is an active work. It is a goodwill, it's a good work. Investment, all right? Some of you I know very smart, you invest. Do you wake up every night, 12 o'clock, and check your investment? Hopefully not. If you are, then you are not a good investor. You are, you know? So the sowing is the same thing. When you sow a seed, you don't like every 24 hours, you know, just check it, you know, is it growing? Is it growing? You just trust God that God has given you a divine seed, and where he has you to sow, it's going to reproduce. Next one, please. All right. Now he who supplies seed. All right. Each of us will have seed, have something that in your hand you can invest in. Most of the time, in this case, it's material resources. But we can invest in our time. We can invest in our energy. But this two chapter is really the material resources. So a seed, so if it's God-given seed, it has the divine DNA to produce eternal result. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, so we are the sower, we are the investor. So God will demand, God will check on us. It's like, I give you $5, how much have you made? That's the law of God. You know, God wants you to reproduce, multiply. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply, okay? Your supply comes from God, and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So how can money, you know, unrighteous mammon become righteousness? It's how you invest. And I would suggest you invest in people. Invest in people. That's how you're going to reap righteousness. You invest in people. So this group of people, when they pass away, when they go to heaven, I'm sure lots of Indonesian kids will run up to that and say, hey, you know the $5 you gave? I'm this. That's the result. I got my education. You know, I got to hear the gospel. That's the righteousness. Don't you want that? I mean, all the treasure in the earth will diminish. You will be made rich. Again, you, as in people who give themselves first to God. When you give yourself first to God, all this material thing is no longer your boss. Because you serve God, therefore you don't serve money on the material thing. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous again on every occasion. Brothers and sisters, it's so fun to be generous. It's really so fun. Excelled in the grace of giving. The true us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving with God. All right? So it's very simple. You got $500 and you give $200 to a mission work. And that mission work, John Wesley said, money can be a weak vehicle of love. All right? So that money go to Lombok, and it's an expression of love that they got no idea who this old lady is in Plympton. And they receive it, they're like, praise the Lord, Puji Tuhan, you know, we've been praying for 2 days, and finally the resources come, and it come all the way from Adelaide, got no idea who it is, but they know who is behind it. God has touched this old lady to give 200 bucks, which is lots of rupiah in Lombok. You can buy a few sack of rice. Being generous is the way God built his church, built his kingdom, built mission, because every time we give, and we give out of cheerful heart, we're giving to God and say, would you bless this money to bless these people in Cambodia, in Timbuktu? Next one, please. There's no next one? How come? All right, I've run out of time. All right, let me pray. Let me pray. Father, this is such an example that have impacted my life, and I pray, Lord, in very simple faith that it will impact each and every heart. First of all, to see we have more than enough, to see that we are more than enough, that we don't live out of lack, we live out of the abundant supply of our good, gracious God. We don't look at our means, how we work to get money. We look to our Heavenly Father who supply abundantly the seeds. All of us have seeds. You know, some have bigger bag of seed. You might have 5 seed, but they still seed. That seed can grow and multiply and become food for so many people. But it has to die, and you have to sow it. Seed in your pocket, seed in your purse, it's not going to do anything. You have to sow it. You have to give it away. So, Father, I pray that we will become wise sowers, sowers of what you have given us, wise investors, and trust when we sow it in your name, we can rest and sleep, because no matter what, the seed will eventually grow and bear much fruit for your glory and also for the advancement of your kingdom. Amen.
We're going to continue with some worship as we prepare for communion. And just this song is an opportunity for